welcome to Family Mission Podcast.
Welcome.
Mark, Daniel, myself, Kimberly here with you today. And above all, Holy Spirit.
Holy
is
Spirit.
Here.
Amen.
We've welcomed him into this conversation, and we're so thankful that you are joining in with us today.
That's right.
And we're going to get right into our subject of today. And Daniel, fill us in on our subject, because he's the one that decided he wanted to talk about something today.
Yeah, well, over the last couple podcasts, we've been talking about how to practically apply, you know, the Word of God and, you know, in your life. And one of the areas where it's pretty important that you know how to apply it is relationships and communication and those different types of dynamics. It's very important, and it's, you know, something you need to know.
That's right. Well said.
Well said.
Everything hinges on communication.
Well, and communication is something that we need to really rely on the Holy Spirit to help us with. Amen. For sure. For sure. Yeah. But we're going to get right into a story that we feel like will kind of break this open into a good conversation with you and us today. So we're going to
Matthew 15. And I think one of the reasons you're going to see as we read through this, I'm going to have Dan read it, but as we read this story, it's just a few verses, and it doesn't take long to read it, but I want you to use your imagination with us today and try to put yourself in the story, because even though it doesn't take long to read it, we're going to take some time and break it open, because there's several twists and turns that this conversation takes, but it has a glorious, wonderful outcome. And that's, of course, what our desire is for you and for us and all of our relationships, to have that glorious outcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in communication, you know, you have these awkward moments and you have these difficult moments, and kind of you have these do or break moments.
Right.
Honestly. And you're going to see all that in this conversation. So we're going to watch Jesus in action, the master communicator. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to let Dan read this, and then we'll just see where the Holy Spirit takes us as we highlight this conversation today.
Yeah. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table."
Wow.
Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Okay, so that was the, what version was that?
That was the NIV.
NIV. And I'm going to read the Passion paraphrase translation here.
And I don't think we gave you the verse references.
It's verse 21.
There we go.
Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Here we go. Then Jesus left and went north into the non-Jewish region of Lebanon. He encountered there a Canaanite woman who screamed out to him, "Lord, Son of David, show mercy to me. My daughter is horribly afflicted by a demon and torments her." But Jesus never answered her.
Wow.
So his disciples said to him, "Why do you ignore this woman who is crying out to us?" Jesus said, "I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel." But she came and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It's not right for a man to take bread from his children and throw it out to the dogs."
Oh my gosh.
Verse 27, she says, "You're right, Lord," she replied, "but even puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall from the prince's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Dear woman, your faith is strong. What you desire will be done for you." And at that very moment, her daughter was instantly set free from demonic torment.
My, my, my.
Wow.
Pretty interesting story here.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean? The story kind of takes some twists and turns. There's some awkward moments in that mm-hmm. conversation.
Well, the first one is Jesus is in an area mm-hmm. that is non-Jewish. Mm-hmm. And she is non-Jewish.
That's right.
And she calls out to him by his Jewish position.
That's yeah. right. Thou son of David.
Yeah.
And what did he do?
He ignored her. Now, come on.
In communication.
Now, this is the
silent treatment ignored. Is not, you know.
And this is the Jesus we love and we yeah. worship and mm-hmm. we adore. And so when we're watching Jesus navigate, like you said, yeah. how do we navigate, you know, situations, relationships? When we watch Jesus navigate this relationship and this conversation, we're watching love in action.
We yeah. are.
And so we have to ask ourselves, if he's ignoring her,
why
is he ignoring her? Because if that's love in action, why is it loving to ignore mm-hmm. someone? In this situation, I think what we could yeah. surmise from it is, like you said, she's using a phrase that's really not hers to use. She's yeah. a non-Jew. She's a Canaanite. Mm-hmm. You know, she's using a borrowed phrase, I like to call it. And so that for that reason, Jesus ignores her
mm-hmm.
because I think what he's going for, what he ultimately desires, I think for all of mm-hmm. us, is he wants honesty.
Yeah. Honesty. Honesty. And it goes on
she goes to the disciples next.
Well, she's at the disciples and they're saying, Lord, deal with her. She's just sitting here nagging us. She's not going away. She is bound and determined. She's mm-hmm. going committed. To, you know, to communicate and to get you to communicate back with her. And so he responds and he basically says, okay, it's not right for
taking the children's bread and giving it to the
dogs.
Uh-oh. Now,
has he gone to name calling?
Oh, and you know, would he be politically correct right now?
Whoa, not at all.
I mean, and so much of our communication mm-hmm. now, even in our homes, have come to politically correctness, mm-hmm. not biblically correctness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
say
so
that again.
I mean,
not biblically correctness.
I mean, so Jesus was so kind. Even mm-hmm. though people look at this and they go, he was not kind. No, he was. He knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who she was. He knew exactly what he was on mission to do. And she was coming and she was interrupting that mission. But he loved her enough. Mm-hmm. He loved her enough
yes.
to allow her to stay. Okay. Mm-hmm. They didn't just make her go away like the disciples wanted her to. But then Jesus said, you know what? You know, you're wanting to just get in communication with me, really just to kind of manipulate.
Get what you want.
And get what you want. And in that, he said, he went to the heart. Mm-hmm. He went to her heart because though it may have been a very seemingly sharp mm-hmm. Statement in his communication with her, he basically said who he was mm-hmm. and he said who she was.
Yeah.
And she responded and said, you're right. Truth.
That's who I am.
That you're absolutely right. And when she made that position of humility.
That's a humility.
When mm-hmm. she made that position of humility, it unlocked
everything.
Her miracle.
Yeah.
That she was seeking for her daughter.
So we see two things that in this conversation that Jesus was going for
yeah.
was humility. Mm-hmm. And honesty.
Honesty.
Mm.
Humility Both. And honesty.
So in our communication, Daniel, mm-hmm. as we're talking about this, how do we put this into our everyday practical family life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, family mission. It's about living on mission. Families mm-hmm. living on mission. Living on the mission of the kingdom and living on the mission as we're working together in our homes and in our lives. So let's mm-hmm. just talk about some practicalities of how we could put yeah. that into a conversation or an example.
Well, obviously, honesty is kind of almost self-explanatory, just be honest. Obviously, there's a little more nuance. But humility, I was thinking, and one way too is, you know, being humble means you put others, you know, first. So listen more. Just don't always, you know, be the first to speak, but listen first and then, and that, you know, put yourself, you know, at equal or even under whoever you're talking to so that you're, you know, you're not overbearing.
That's right.
That's very
That's good.
Humility is a good listener. Humility places value on another person's opinion, their feelings, their perspectives. That's really good, Dan.
That's right. So 80% of true communication is
listening.
Listening.
You got two and ears and one mouth.
And 20% is speaking. So that humility and that listening aspect is huge, to be a good listener. What's some other good ways of communication that we could apply? In this, she was determined that she was going to have communication with him.
To get some help.
To get some help. Yeah. So is there a way, and maybe let's just talk about what we've done in our home. We've had what we call a safe zone or a safe space. What does that look like? And Mark, kind of explain that.
Well, the idea behind it is, you know, to have good open conversation and communication, you got to feel safe. And the reason Jesus had to kind of push through some of these issues was because she was not being honest with him. And so those kind of things, like the ignoring her at first, and even the disciples getting all put out, and then Jesus making the comment about, you know, not giving the children's bread to dogs, these were all things just to move her to a place of honesty.
Because she was afraid that if she didn't recognize him, she wouldn't get what she wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. She didn't realize how safe she really was in the master's care. So she was trying to go with, you know, really out of fear of rejection. She was then trying to compensate with all these borrowed phrases, thinking, well, that's just what you say. Maybe she heard about blind Bartimaeus getting healed, and that's what he said, so that's what I say. You know, but coming to God is not coming with just trying to get what you want and just say what he wants to hear. He wants honesty with us.
He wants open and honest communication.
And that requires a place of safety. You're not going to be honest. The walls aren't going to come down if you don't feel safe. And so when she finally decided to get honest, she realized how safe she was all along. Yeah. She didn't have to come in that place of fear, borrowed phrases. But like in our home, what we try to set up, it's not about a physical place necessarily.
No, it is.
Though you can use a physical space to create it. But if you don't have that possibility, you know, you're in an apartment or a small space, you can create that space by just creating a conversation by saying, I want to have a very open and honest and transparent conversation with you, and I need that safe conversation right now. Yeah. So you can create it by just even setting up the conversation.
Right. And we actually started this before both of the boys were born. It was something that really helped us in our communication, because we came from two different dynamics of communication in our homes that we grew up with. And so we knew that the Lord had to help us create something that we both would be open and honest and stay humble and walk in true communication and allow the Holy Spirit to help us in that communication. And so we did. We had a little space, a little couch that we made that was the safe place. And we could actually, just as husband and wife, I'm going to use this as an example, and then y'all can talk about it as when the boys came. But we actually opened up and just said, hey, honey, can I meet you at 8 o'clock tonight in the safe place? And what did that create? Mm-hmm. It created, hey, he was automatically knowing, okay, all my guns are put in the holsters and they're staying in the holsters. I'm not going to be reactive. I'm not going to be defensive. She's coming to me to actually open up and be honest with how she is dealing with something.
Yeah.
And so
it may or may not have anything to do with me. You know, so it's not about when I hear that, well, I get in a place of dread, like, what did I do now?
Yeah.
It's just realizing my love for her, mm-hmm. my value of her, I want to come and hear her heart. I want to hear what she's dealing with. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what she's struggling with. Or maybe she just wants to be open about a feeling on something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something we're making a decision on or whatever. I'm coming to put two ears on and listen.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, because, we're talking about it, but even the practical, literal application of it was when, someone would say, hey, I want to have, a conversation in the safe space or,
Which is what they called it.
So when you do that, the person that's getting told that, you realize and you prepare yourself, I'm going to listen completely through the whole first of whatever they want to say and get out. You listen first, and then you can then maybe put input in. But just that, the literal practical mm-hmm. of when that happens, it was that we would, listen first. That was instead of, bringing up in a conversation and then immediately, giving a solution or that, but just being mm-hmm. able to hear first. That was one of the key aspects of it.
Well, and it was because it actually, it did open up a dialogue, not only between Mark and I, we still use this to this day. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't go away. It's not something you just do for mm-hmm. a season, and you do it at different levels as the guys grew. It became different mm-hmm. than when they were young. But, one of the things that we always made, a goal in our home was that there would be honesty and honest communication. Now, the truth of the word sets us free. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, for instance, me, if I'm struggling and I'm having a really, really hard time, and I mean the enemy is like bombarding me with self-accusation, and I say, honey, I need to have a time in the safe place. Can you meet me at 8 o'clock? Like I said, that mm-hmm. That scenario earlier. Can you meet me? And he comes in and he's just sitting down. He's like, honey, okay, share what's on your heart. And I am vulnerable enough to tell him what the enemy is trying to do to me. And he looks at me and he says, honey, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I hear you. You're safe. What does the word say? How can I encourage you in the word? And let's look at the word and see what the word says. Mm-hmm. It diffused, I can't tell you how many, probably back and forth arguments, it diffused the enemy being able to get in. Mm-hmm. It did allow us the freedom to really be honest. And then allowed the person that was listening to hear, be a hearer of the of what they were saying. Mm-hmm. Just like we're to be the hearers of the word, not just doers, but we're to be hearers. So we would hear, and then even if it was an instance where we didn't deal with something right there in the instance that I just shared, Mark mm-hmm. may, or one of the guys, because we did it with each other, we did it with each of the kids. And it made, I should say sons instead mm-hmm. of kids, but they still will always be my kids.
Yep.
But anyway, we tried to do that and sometimes we were all sitting, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we were all sitting in there having a conversation.
Yeah.
And it did open up a time and a season of just being able to be truthful mm-hmm. and to allow honesty to be so.
Because that's the goal. The goal, God wants us to be honest with him, and that is something we want to learn to be with each other, is to be honest. But sometimes you have to be very intentional to create that mm-hmm. conversation to happen. Now, what we see happen here in this conversation, I mean, it took all kinds of twists and turns. And sometimes as you begin to navigate and work through, whether it's hurt feelings, misunderstandings, disappointments and expectations, anger, I mean, very strong, intense emotions. This woman came. I mean, this was an intense conversation, but Jesus kept bringing it back down to a more calm place, a mm-hmm. place that was going to bring it to honesty. A place of honesty. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jesus said he's the master communicator. He's demonstrating humility. And so sometimes you have to look at the very end of the story and see the outcome and realize that every step along the way, was moving towards that end. And so you're going to find, even as we have found, sometimes you go through some ups and downs, some hard rights, hard lefts in a conversation. But if the goal is we want God to win, then we're going to find ourselves in a place where resolution takes place, reconciliation takes place. Like in this situation, healing can take place, because this is the goal that we want to have. Mm-hmm. We want to have honesty in our hearts. And I'll kind of leave you with this, and then if they want to sign off with something, they can share. But my last thought on this is, you know, in Mark 4, when Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, he talked in there about four different kinds of soil, or four different heart conditions. And one of those, if you read Luke's account of it, it says that those who receive the word in a good and honest heart bring forth fruit. He could have used any number of descriptors, but he chose one. He said, honest. So he wants a good and honest heart. And that's where the word of God can grow, which is communication with him. And honesty is where our success happens, whether it's in marriage or as a parent or as a son or any other relationship dynamic. Honesty is so important. Mm-hmm. So what are some other thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, I was just going to say this. I think that we did... One particular time, there was an issue that we were going back and forth. And by back and forth, I mean somebody was meeting with somebody and they were listening. And then the next day, someone else would be, I mean, and because we're a family of four. And I think there was something like it was like 6 days before there was complete resolution. Of what had actually taken place, when everybody had their freedom to openly communicate. And then at the very end of it, you know, somebody had held back. Mm-hmm. And so the very last 2 days were that person actually felt safe enough to be honest. And it opened up. Mm-hmm. And so our encouragement to you today is, you know, take a little bit of our journey, practicality that we put into our lives and into our home, but look at the word and what actually took place in scripture here today, and put it into practice. Just start somewhere.
Amen.
Just start little, and maybe, you know, just give yourself room to have this. Maybe the scenario work out in your home, in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships. Little by little, putting it into practicality. Amen. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to really help you. And or have we been perfect at this? No. No. But it has always been our goal to go back to this when we felt like we were getting off, or somebody kind of got sharp outside of that, the other person would say, hey, we need to talk in the safe place. And it really did allow then there to be freedom and honesty, and for everyone in the relationships to feel like they could be truthful and honest. So.
You have any other thoughts, Dan?
No, but do you want to sign off with the blessing?
Oh, I think we can.
We should, yeah.
We sure can. Well, the Lord bless
you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Shalom, shalom.